morning, everyone.
Morning.
Everyone who's here and everyone who's on electronic device and following us at home. May God bless you also. I want to take some time today to importantly remember that we are following Jesus. I appreciated your comment there that you are a planner, but that God's plans are always better and always more complete. And that's something it would be very well for us to remember as we maneuver forward. I have a title this morning that there are things that are dead, and then there's Jesus. There are things that are dead, and then there's Jesus. So let's pray and ask his blessing upon us as we move forward. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this house. We're thankful for Jesus. And Lord, as we come, Lord, we open our hearts to you. Lord, fill our hearts, open our eyes, that we may see Jesus in a greater light. Lord, bless us, we pray. Well, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There are things that are dead, and then there is Jesus. And we want to consider some thoughts on that today. God does move in big ways, and he moves in small ways. But God is always moving. From the beginning, God created man in his image, and his immediate thought was, I will need a Savior, and Jesus was the Savior before the foundations of the world. God was always moving. He was always planning. I'm a part of a great big movement. The Jesus movement of the 1970s. There were millions and millions of people who came to the Lord in that decade. It was a large movement, huge, but yet, not far away from here, there was a very subtle and small movement as God turned my heart. So there was the big, and yet there was the individual, the small, that touched me. That followed the decade of the 60s, where there was a big turning from God, where drugs and debauchery and all surfaced in the flesh. So it was a big movement there, but then God came and made a great difference. God will move differently in situations. There were two countries in the Old Testament. One was Assyria, a very evil country. They would cut the heads off of their enemies and pile them up on the roads so that anybody coming by would see them and would fear them. So Assyria, and there was also Nineveh, a very, very huge city and a very evil city. And God worked, well, Nineveh was Assyria, and then there was Sodom and Gomorrah, a very evil, two very evil countries. God looked down upon them and cast judgment on them. He sent a prophet to one, and everybody repented. He sent a prophet to the other with no avail and destroyed that country. God is always moving. When we remember that on a daily basis. It doesn't matter what is happening. It doesn't matter what is dead. There is Jesus. And he will make a difference in our lives. Now what I'd like to do today is I would like to, I didn't bring a Bible up with me. I would like to let the scriptures talk to us, and we're going to look at a few portions of scripture and how Jesus is dealing with us. Now, to conserve time, I'll use this Bible, and I'll turn to it, and I'll tell you what page it's on. But if you want to use your own Bible, that's okay. You can do that too. We want to turn to Luke chapter 15 first. Oh, you know what? I didn't read the jumping off point. Let me read that for you. It's in Luke chapter 4. There is Jesus, and he's always active. And he'll always let you know what is going on. Luke chapter 4 and verse 17. This is when he went in the synagogue. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. And he opened the book and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." There are dead things. Jesus has come to make a difference in the dead things. He is going to proclaim the release to the captives. He is going to recover sight to the blind, to those who are dead in blindness, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. There are dead things, and then there is Jesus. Turn with me, if you will, Luke, few chapters ahead, Luke chapter 15. Familiar scriptures we'll be looking at today as we move forward. Luke chapter 15, and we're going to start around verse 11. This is the story, of course, of the prodigal son, that one who left his father's home and ended up in complete disarray. All right? So let's read just some portions here. And he said, Jesus said, "A man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me.' So he divided his wealth. And the son left, and he went away into a far and distant land, and he wasted all of his inheritance, wasted everything. Verse 17 says this, "But when he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread? But I am dying here with hunger. I will get up, I will go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men.' So he got up, and he came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, felt compassion for him, and ran and embraced him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quick, bring the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and sandal on his feet, and bring the fatted calf, kill it, and let us celebrate. For this son of mine was dead, he has come to life again. He was lost and has been found.' And they began to celebrate." Things are dead, but there is Jesus. And I want you to think about this. I don't know if you're sitting here, and there may be some things that are dead. Maybe in your life, maybe in a family member's life, maybe somebody who used to follow the Lord and was gung-ho for God, but now not. They're dead in their spirit. I want you to think about anything dead, because there's Jesus. And we're going to see Jesus come through in a great way throughout this morning. Jesus speaking, talks about this foolish living, this impoverished boy who spent everything, filled with failure and hopelessness, but begins in a moment, in a movement, to go back to God. He looks around. Now, there is no worse place for this Jewish boy to be found in than in a foreign country, in a pig pen, feeding the pigs, and then eating the food that the pigs have. There's no deader place for this young man. And Father, he comes to his senses. Don't you love it? When you read that, didn't it jump you? He came to his senses. God help me to come to my senses more and more, and quicker as these days build up. Coming to his senses, he gets up and he says, I'm going to go to my father and I'm going to tell him, I'm no good. Just make me one of your hired hands. Just let me stay on the outskirts of the farm. Let me be there. But the father sees him afar off and starts running. What will happen? Well, as we could see in the young man's thoughts about himself, he could be thinking, my father's running at me, but I don't know what's going to happen. He may be running down here to tell me, stop, don't come any further. You've made a mess of everything. You've disgraced this family. Don't come up. Go back. He could have been thinking that. But the father falls upon him and hugs him. I want you to consider that there are dead things, and then there is Jesus. Full of grace and full of mercy. And in his teaching on this, he is attributing the Father's response to his Father's response to us as his children. Notice the Father doesn't say, all right, you're here. Now, let my servants clean you up a little bit. You know, I'll see you in a little bit. You got to clean up. He's still got the smell of the pigs on him and the dirt. No, he falls right upon him and hugs him. And that's Jesus alive and bringing life to a dead situation. In every instance, he will hug, he will hold, and he will keep. Feeding those pigs was the ultimate failure for this boy. The stench remains on his clothing. The father doesn't stop and say, clean him up. He wraps his arms around him. The father took the uncleanness from him, and now begins the restoration of the son. Bring a robe, put it on him. Bring a ring, put it on him. Bring shoes. Make this young man into who he is, my son. And God, in all of his workings, will do that for us. God's movement. What's coming to this world may be judgment, but it's going to be mercy and grace for us as we look to Jesus. Consider how God works in other ways. In the book of Acts, we have those two people, Ananias and Sapphira, who lied to the Holy Spirit, and they were taken. But to the one who had a heart for God, the one who came back, the one there was only love and joy and concern for him. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word today. To turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. This is the story of the family of Lazarus, a family that Jesus had frequented on many occasions, a good friend Lazarus was to Jesus. Lazarus was sick, and Jesus, they told Jesus that Lazarus was sick. Now, he's not far away. He can get there in a minute. Put his hand upon him, and everything is fine. But he waits. And he doesn't go for 2 days. For 2 days, and Lazarus, I imagine, and from the comments that they make, I would imagine they would say, where is he? Where is he? He's not coming. Where is he? Something's going to die. Where is he? And he doesn't come. But then when he does, it says, now Bethany was near Jerusalem, verse 18, about 2 miles off. And many of the Jews had come to Martha to console them. Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him. But Mary stayed at the house. And look at her words. Martha then said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But now, you ask of God, God will give you. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, even he who comes into the world. And she had said this and went away, and Mary came. Teacher is here. He's calling you. And when she heard it, she got up quickly for Jesus. And Jesus had not come into the village, but was still in a place where Martha met him. And the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, went. They saw Mary got up quickly and went. They followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb. Therefore, Mary came where Jesus was. She saw him, fell at his feet, and again says the same thing. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Jesus saw her weeping, and he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Now, where have you laid him? Jesus asked. And they said to him, Lord, come and see. And he wept. And the Jews, seeing how he loved him, were saying, see how he loved him. But some of them could not. This man who opened the eyes of blind men and kept this man also from dying. Jesus, again, being deeply moved within him, came to the tomb. Now it was a cave, and the stone was lying against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Take away the stone. Jesus said, take away the stone. And those who were there were weeping. You see, Jesus knew that beyond the stone, there was someone dead, but he was Jesus. Everybody's weeping. Everybody thinks this is bad. Everybody's telling Jesus he came too late. Everybody's saying, but the body's decayed, it stinks. And Jesus said, take the stone away. You see, when we look at things with our fleshly eyes, when we're looking at those situations down the road, I'm moving to another state. What's going to happen? What's going to happen with my son, my loved one? What's going to happen on the job? What's going to happen over here? Take away the stone, Jesus says. Take it away. But it stinks. But you're too late. Take away the stone. Jesus said, take away the stone. Didn't I tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? And they took away the stone. What stones do you have, and what's behind those stones? There comes a point where Jesus is going to say to you, take away the stone. Your response may be, it's too late. He used to serve God. Now he's been doing this or doing that. I used to have this, but now, take away the stone. Remove the stone from where your problem is and allow Jesus to bring it back to life. There are things that are dead in our lives. There are things that are dying. There's also Jesus. Let him make that difference in your life. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul tells us, death, where is thy victory? Death, where is thy sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. There was a victory for sin. There was a power behind death. But now with Jesus, from the cross, there's no more power in death. There's no more power in sin. Jesus has taken it all. And on that cross, with a very loud voice, even though he had been through so much, he said, Tetelestai, it is over. It's over. I've done it. I've made the difference. There are dead things. And I don't know if you have any dead things. I don't know if you have any stones in front of them trying to keep the stench away. We have Jesus who's alive, who sits at the right hand of God, ever to make intercession for us. Take the stone away. Take it away and watch, as Jesus said, you will see the power of God in this circumstance. Roll the stone away. There are dead things. And there's also Jesus. One very poignant scripture, as you read it, in Joshua chapter 1, verse 2. The Lord says, my servant Moses is dead. Very simple. My servant Moses is dead. There are things that are dead, but yet there's a God who's alive. And he says to his people, now, they've been walking 40 years in the wilderness because of their unbelief. He says, but now, I'm going to send you in, and I'm going to give you the promised land. And he raises up another to take them in. Moses is dead, the anchor of the nation, the one they trusted for so long. God has taken him away, and he now will be their trust. You see, a lot of those dead things are things that we've held on to, things that we've kept power over. And they're dying, and they're keeping us from seeing the glory of God. Roll away the stone, take the stone away, and allow Jesus in a loud voice to say, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come forth. And he does. Now consider that what we talked about in the beginning, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And he has anointed me to do various things. So he's going to take away the blindness. He's going to set free the captive. He's going to do all of this. So Lazarus come forth. Lazarus all bound up in those grave cloths. Loose him. Loose him. Now the first things they probably loosed was the bandage over his eyes, so now he can see. And then they probably took the wrappings off of his legs so he didn't have to hobble. The thing was dead, now it's alive because Jesus called forth a miracle. I sent a text today to somebody who was not doing very well. Not a believer, not doing very, in fact, the whole thing is falling apart. Any day now can be just disaster. And I simply said, praying for you today. Look to Jesus. He still makes miracles happen. Simple. He still makes miracles happen. I don't know if you're sitting at home, if you're sitting here. I know I'm here, and there are these things. They're dead. They're dying. They're packed away. Roll back the stone. Take away the stone. Allow Jesus to speak to that situation, to that circumstance, and watch the miracle rise up and walk. Moses didn't go into the promised land, and you know that because he hit the rock twice. He was told to hit the rock once and water would come out, but in his anger and in his haste, he hits it twice. So he can't go in. But God can go in, and God will raise up. I don't know if you've hit the stone twice. I don't know if anybody here has hit the rock twice and it has caused you great difficulty. Roll the stone away, take the stone away, and allow Jesus now to speak into that situation so that he can make a difference there. See, we were talking before about movements. One of the great movements of God would follow as they now honor him and believe him and move into that promised land. And we watch campaign after campaign as God moves before them and destroys the enemy, tears down great walls, defeats strong armies in front of them in a great way. God promised them that. In Deuteronomy 3:31-8, he said, "The Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear. Do not be dismayed." Don't fear. Don't be dismayed. We head for difficult times. I'm sure you agree with that. You're watching, you watch news, you see. We're heading for difficult times. But we're in the promised land. We're still in God's promise. And he's still fighting the battles. There may be great walls of Jericho before you. They'll come down. There may be kings that combine to come against you. They'll come down. You may be like that little boy who was just taking sandwiches to his brother. And when he got there, he saw that giant ridiculing the people of God. And he didn't know he was getting into that, but God had prepared this young man. And when he heard him ridicule, he said, "I'll go out. I'll take care of that." And he walked out in front of that giant. The giant ridiculed him and said, "You're coming? You come against me with a stone, with a stick and a stone?" David said, "No, I come before you in the name of God. That's what I come before you in the situations where we're set up in, the dead things, the rotting things. Human beings have them. Take away the stone that keeps it bound up and allow Jesus to speak to that situation and let him make a difference. May his name be praised. When you look in the mirror, and you look at the person who you know can't make it happen, when you open up that envelope that was sent to you and you say, "Oh no, what am I going to do now?" When you look at yourself and you say, "I can't do this," you're right, you can't. Take away the stone and allow Jesus to speak to the situation. Allow him to touch. It's all about the power and the plan of God. It was for David. It was for Paul. It was for, as the pastor mentioned before, on that morning, that Pentecost morning, not knowing what's going to happen, their leader has been taken. The priests are after them. The Romans hate them. They're in that upper room fearful. But God came and filled them with himself. And that made the difference. And they became a powerful group of people. And it was said about them later on, "These are the people who are turning the world upside down." turning the world upside down. Ragtag group of fishermen and others turning the world upside down because they allowed the dead to become alive in Christ. May he help us as we go forward. There are going to be things that are dying. There are going to be situations that come. And we're going to say, oh, what are we going to do? Remember to take the stone away. Remember so that you can see the glory of God in that circumstance, in that situation. May his name be praised. Can we take a moment, just bow our heads? Sit in his presence for a moment. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what's going on. But just take a moment just to give some things over to God. Just give some things over to God. God, I've been trying this, I've been trying that, I've been doing this, I've been doing that, and I'm stuck in the miry clay. And maybe we'll sing as David sang, he took me up out of the miry clay, and he put my feet on the rock to stay. Blessed be his name. Give some things over to God. There'll be more things later on to give. And we'll work with him each and every day on a daily basis. Father, how thankful we are, Lord, that we can come into this house, your house. That we can sit before you, Lord. We can trust in you, knowing, Lord, that you hold all things in your hand. And in you, all things consist in this world. So, Father, help us each and every day to grow stronger in faith, to grow stronger in our trust, to believe you more, that we may see Jesus. Help us, we pray, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.